title of the message today is this: Christ will call his people from all over the world. All over the world. He has his people in the four corners of the earth. I wonder, have you ever heard of the story of the message in a bottle? This story of the man who sits on a stranded desert island alone. He's cut off on the desert island and writes a note in the hope that someone will read it. He puts this note pleading for help inside a bottle, in the neck of a bottle. One of those bottles where it's very narrow, so it's not very easy for the paper to come out. And it would be tossed by the waves. And he knows not how far or how near would be someone who would pick that bottle up. Maybe someone passing by on a ship, or maybe it would be washed up on the shore somewhere else. Hoping that it would be picked up by someone. He knows not who, he knows not how, he knows not where, he knows not if. Well, as we consider again what we are calling the misinterpreted, misunderstood statements or sayings from the Word of God, we see the preaching of a free offer gospel in these days. A free offer gospel, so called. And the belief that God's love and salvation is given to each and every one in the world if we hear and believe. The God for them, the God for those who believe such a message, is no different from the man waiting on a desert island and sending out his message in a bottle. There is no certainty to the hearer. There is no certainty to the one sending the message. For the text we consider today, here found in Isaiah 45, is a very well known passage of scripture. A glorious passage of scripture. But as we've seen with so many scriptures we've looked at recently, they are misused and abused and mistaught. We look at two totally misunderstood statements found in verses 22 and verse 25. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Firstly, I should tackle this claim, this false claim that God's salvation is available to all men indiscriminately if only they will believe. If only they will pick up that message. It is said by some that God, in his word, here, that we read here in Isaiah 45, it is said by some that God is here is giving a call to each and every one to come unto him. Of course, there'd be two problems with that. If God be the caller, if God be calling everyone, everyone will hear. Because throughout the pages of God's word, he declares he is God. In fact, at the end of this verse, he says, I am God and there is none else. What does the word I am mean? He is the all-sufficient one. He fails not. He is the Almighty. He is the one who indeed speaks and it is done. The statement here, look unto me, a positive statement it is. A definite statement, a promise indeed it is. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. In this scripture, God is declaring that he alone is God and Saviour. Throughout this passage in Isaiah 45, throughout these chapters 40 to 46, he's declaring the uniqueness of himself. Challenging man even, who worships false gods, challenges their gods, who are no gods at all. Is there any other but me? And here he is saying, he is declaring that he alone is the God and Saviour of his people. And that by the righteousness he gives, are men saved from sin. Only through righteousness. But there is none righteous, is there? Not one. He says that. It is a righteousness that he gives. And only through this are men saved from sin. Accepted by God. Note that far from this scripture being one that offers salvation to all and everyone in the world. Far from this being the case. In it, the Almighty actually is declaring certain, unequivocal, absolute salvation to as many as know this call. That's what it means. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Even as Christ, even as the bronze serpent was lifted up in the wilderness and all who looked upon it were saved, so Christ must be lifted up. But not all look to Christ. Christ says this himself, does he not? There are many who prefer darkness to light. They do not hear this call. They are left dead in their sins. Who are they then, who by faith, because this is a look of faith, it's not a look of looking with the eyes. Jesus says, blessed are they who believe having not seen. Who look by faith. Who are they who look by faith to Christ Jesus, the only Saviour, who says these words, look unto me. Who are these people? Well, they are, as we read in Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It is clear that this salvation is not for all, each and every one. It can't be. One reason alone is that not all are saved. And if we say that all can be saved but are not saved, that means God fails. That means no one's saved. It is clear that this salvation, you see, is not for all. Not for each and every one. It can't be. But look closely at the text again and see verse 24. Surely shall Oh, what a word. Surely. Surely. Not as we use it sometimes. Surely. Oh, surely you must do that. Almost questioning, almost hoping. No, this is a definite statement. Surely, without doubt, surely one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. The Lord who is the Lord our righteousness. In him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him, against the Lord Jesus, against him being the only righteousness, the only way, truth and life, all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed, shall be brought to shame, shall be brought low. Clear as the nose on your face is the fact that not all mankind is addressed here. For otherwise, what is verse 24 about? For see, again, 1 Peter 2. Read with me 1 Peter 2. It is clear. God has given the Christ. He has made him the one upon whom all is built. All salvation is built. He is the chief of the corner. But he is a rock of offence as well. In 1 Peter 2 verses 6 to 8, we read these words. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. Hear these words. They stumble because the church failed to preach the gospel. Because they didn't have a chance encounter with you. Because you didn't do something. Because they didn't do something. They stumble being disobedient in their nature. Totally depraved in sin. You're outside of Christ today. You haven't believed the gospel. It's because you're disobedient. You're even as the others. Even as the others. And all mankind. All born into this world. Disobedient. Disobedient to God. You're disobeying God right now. If you haven't bowed the knee to Christ. It's your nature. And your nature needs to be changed. Being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Not by themselves, by the sovereign ruler of this universe. Who says indeed, he says, shall the clay say to the potter, how am I, why am I made thus? But far from being a negative, this is a most certainly positive. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. They will look and be saved. For see, indeed. Yes, there is a distinction made, a clear distinction, but a definite distinction. Yes, 1 Peter 2 speaks of who receives the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. But secondly, the false teaching that God somehow saves the Jews, a physical people, saves a distinct nation, a distinct race. That the false teaching that God saves the Jews differently and that they be a special physical race of people who are the people of God is absolutely false now. It's absolutely false. For a season, yes, God raised up a nation of people unto himself. They weren't large. They weren't mighty to show his glory. He raised up a nation of people unto himself, through whom the Saviour must come and did come. And was committed unto them, we read in Romans 3, were committed unto them were the oracles of God. Oh, and they faithfully kept them. When I say kept them, they faithfully wrote them down and preserved the scriptures. Now sadly, when the Lord Jesus came into the world, the one of whom all the scriptures spoke, on the whole, they received him not. They loved the Word, but they loved not the Saviour of the Word, who came in fulfilment of the Word. Do you love to hear the Word of God? Do you love to hear Christian hymns? Do you love to come and experience some kind of Christianity here? That does you no good. Have you received Christ? Have you received Christ? Have you heard the call? Look unto me. Yes, we have much to be thankful for. The oracles of God, the revelation of God's word, what he uttered has been preserved through them under the superintending of God, the sovereign ruler. All the scriptures of the Old Testament, the types and figures, prophecy and the law, pointing to Christ Jesus, was committed to them. Even the one who said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." But it is equally true that not all of that physical race, even in that era, even in that what's called that dispensation of time, when God revealed his word only to one people, in that dispensation of time, not all of that race believed God's message. In fact, many did not. Many were disobedient to it. When you go home, read Hebrews 4, it's clear. Hebrews 3 and 4, it's very clear. Not all believed, because it was not mixed with faith. Sure, they witnessed all the great wonders that God did in bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them over Jordan to the promised land, but not all believed. In fact, many did not go into the promised land. Many multitudes fell in the wilderness. That God is not speaking of a physical nation here in Isaiah 45 is oh so clear. It's oh so clear. He's not speaking of a physical seed. Seed is better in the AV, I feel, than in this instance, than in the New King James, where it says descendants. Although descendants isn't a problem, but the trouble is, with the way people read things out of context, you can quite easily go down this line of thinking this is talking of a physical people, descendants. The seed are not a physical seed here. The Lord Jesus tells us in this instance where indeed a pagan comes and pleads his mercy in Matthew 8. Turn with me to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 11. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. What faith. What faith God gifted this man. To declare in this statement what babbling theologians deny today, that God is altogether sovereign, and at his word, nothing is impossible. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled. Jesus marvelled. And said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, the physical Israel. And I say to you that many will come, he speaks of, on that great day when he will call together all his elect, when the end shall come. On that day, many will come from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so the Lord Jesus here, the Lord God, is not speaking in Isaiah 45 of a physical people. He's speaking of a spiritual people who believe God. The people of the kingdom spoken of by the Son of God are the physical, natural seed of Israel, Jacob. Those who would be cast out, whose only hope was that they were of the physical line. And maybe you're like that. You think, I've been in the church all my life. I've come to church all my life. My mummy and daddy brought me all my life. My grandparents brought me all my life. I went to a place where they preached the gospel, so I'm faithful. No, you're not. No, you're not. You couldn't be any further from God if you're not trusting Christ. These people were only a physical seed, who are Abraham's physical descendants. But you see, there is a physical kingdom over this world, and there is the spiritual kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. With Christ the King, him saying of this kingdom, my kingdom is not of this world. And so do not place any throne here on earth for me. He would not have it. How many times would they make Christ the King? The Jews who wanted to be relieved from the yoke of and bondage of Rome. He said, no, no, my kingdom's not of this earth. Those who seek in their false teaching today to try and implement Christian ways on nations which are dead, upon people who are dead in trespasses and sins, to apply the law of God to them, to dead sinners. It's a false gospel. Those who also seek to reinstate the worship of God in Jerusalem. Yes, they do that. There are crazy fools, mainly in America, who are spending money, saving up money to build certain stones, the right type of stones to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. When God has seen to it, it shall never be built again. Because Christ is the temple. And they teach indeed this false notion that the Jews, the disobedient Jews, that there should be, I don't know, I've lost count, how many second comings of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus shall come after he's taken the Gentile believers home. And then there shall be a reinstatement of the worship of God and the sacrifices in Jerusalem. The blasphemy of it all when Christ has fulfilled all the law. And then Christ shall come in the clouds and they shall believe seeing him. When the word of God tells us it's from faith to faith. No, these things are not so. There is only one kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom that is within you, Jesus says. When the Spirit of God comes to make you alive, where Christ is made ruler in your heart, he comes and resides and he dictates. Yes, there is a kingdom which is not of this world. And we are made members only by the grace of God. And this only takes place through a new birth, being made alive again. For we are dead. Spiritually, we are dead. As surely as Adam was told, in that day, you take of that fruit, you shall surely die. He didn't die physically, did he? But he died. And we all died in Adam. All of us. Just read Romans 5. We all died in Adam. There and then. Spiritually. We died to God. With no notion of God. And we must be made alive. Even when we were dead in sins. God have quickened us together, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved, as says Ephesians 2. These are the ones from whom among Jew and Gentile, God tells in our text, in verse 25, in the Lord, in Christ, in his servant who shall justify many, Isaiah 53. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. In Christ Jesus the Lord, by his sacrificial death at the cross and resurrection from the dead, this is achieved to justify, meaning to make righteous before God, to be declared not guilty before divine justice. As Romans 4:25, putting it this way, speaks of Christ who was delivered for our offences. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And was raised again for our justification, declaring God has accepted. God's wrath is completely satisfied. He was raised again for our justification, to make us right with God. For thirdly, there are a people. Oh, there definitely are a people. As this text says clearly, there are a people from all around the world who will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They are the people who will say, thou hast redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. Thou art worthy. Oh, there are a people who will hear the voice of the Lord in the gospel, saying, look unto me. There are a people in all the countries, in all the continents, who must hear the good news of eternal life. Not each and every one in each and every country. But they must still. There are a people from the four corners of the earth who must hear. The Lord Jesus said as much. They must hear the good news of eternal life in Christ Jesus, the crucified, the risen substitute, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was adamant in Matthew 24. The end has not come. Why has the end not come? When parted is this? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. I tell you, a church that only focuses on their immediate area, their immediate family, friends, their immediate country, is not a true church. Not fully. Hasn't got a true outlook upon the gospel. Every church, small or large, should always be outward looking. Starting, yes, in your immediate area, which would be the equivalent of what the apostles were told. Beginning in Jerusalem. Yes, in Judea. Yes, in the wider sense in your country. Yes, to the nearer country to you, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God has people. They must hear. This is the promise. This gospel in all the world will be preached for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. This is the promise given long before Abraham, given long before to Abraham. It's a spiritual promise. It has to be a spiritual promise, because Abraham is not the heir of all the physical nations of the earth, is he? In you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. In who? When Abraham is told, in you, what is he told here? In his seed, singular. In him. As our text here in Isaiah 45 says, in the Lord. In the Lord have we righteousness. As Galatians 3 tells us, it is in the Lord Jesus. Christ Jesus the Lord. There are a people from all nations who are Abraham's spiritual seed, who, like Abraham, believe God, believe on the Son of God, and it is counted to us for righteousness. From the Jews, of course. Yes, but not just them. But as many as the Lord our God shall call, as Peter preached after Pentecost, saying, God in this call, saying, simply, succinctly, boldly, clearly to those who hear, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Same message, wherever it goes. Look unto me. To those looking by faith on Christ Jesus, we read in Galatians 3:28-29, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is or Gentile, as is elsewhere translated. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, listen to this, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let many people around the world glory in the fact that they can trace their line back to Abraham. Let them claim that. But guess what? So can I. So can I. So can you if you believe Christ. Because you are blessed with believing Abraham, Romans 4. Having like faith as Abraham. The true children of Abraham. Fourthly, by way of a question to be answered. But what of the promise? What of the promise here in Isaiah 45? What of the promise that all the seed of Israel shall be justified, made righteous? What is God saying here? Is it not so? You know, there are some people who misinterpret what it means to read the word literally. To believe the word of God literally. Of course we believe the word of God literally. But we must always, always interpret scripture with scripture. The great example of this obviously is of the woman with the five husbands, or the four husbands, and the fifth one not being her husband. And then you turn to the next, you could turn to another scripture in the New Testament and just take one line from Jesus, you go and do likewise. Foolish, foolish study of the Word of God, you see. We interpret scripture with scripture, and God's Word opens up the meaning fully to us in the fulfillment, not least in Hosea 2:23, saying, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God." And see also Romans 11. Turn with me to Romans 11. The Apostle Paul, dealing with this fact that God has, yes, has blinded the Jews at this time. Telling us that God has, for the most part, blinded the physical seed of Israel for a time, for a season. We read in verse 25 these words. "For I did not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel," physical Israel, "until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." There's a number who must come. "And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." The fullness of Israel. The fullness of the Gentiles and the Jews who must be saved. "And so all Israel shall be saved." This is what Isaiah is saying here. The seed is the spiritual seed. The church of Jew and Gentile. That number that Christ came to save. "For when all for whom Christ shed his blood to redeem at the cross, believe and are justified before God, then all the seed of Israel are brought near to God and saved." The Israel of God. Out of every nation. But are you found among that number? You can't make yourself of that number. It's only if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, written from the foundation of the world, you can only know that you are amongst that number if God gives you faith to believe on His Son. Then you know you have passed from death to life. Are you found among that number? The seed of Israel, the true Israel, the church of the living God, justified before God. Are you found among that number, or are you still dead? Well, in fact, if you still be dead, actually, when I say those words, you don't even know you're dead. Are you justified before God, declared not guilty, with no fear of judgment, forgiven and pardoned? You who believe Christ now, you who know you are among that number, I don't think we have any who are of the physical Jewish stock here. If we do, praise God also. But to the most part, Gentiles, you, non-Jews, once strangers to God, strangers to anything of the revelation of God. As Ephesians 2 says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. But are you even still without hope? Are you still even without God and without hope in the world? Is the call right now to you? Are you the only one, metaphorically, are you only the only one in this room hearing this call? That's how you hear the call. It's for me. Is the call for you? Is the call for you to look by faith now unto this Saviour God, Jesus Christ, who says there is no God else beside me, a just God, a sin punishing God, who will avenge sin. And if your sin has not been avenged, cast upon the object of His eternal delight, Christ Jesus at the cross, you will pay for your sin. But is this God, saying, no else beside me, a just God and a Saviour? There is none beside me. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop looking elsewhere. Look unto Him now. All will be brought one way or the other. All, each and every one. Here's where it includes each and every one. Here's where the Word of God is clearly saying this is to each and every one in the world. All will be brought to acknowledge one way or the other who Christ is. There's no doubt about that. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. As Philippians 2 tells us, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether we love Him or not, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come. Oh, be found amongst that number. Who acknowledge Christ as Saviour. For there is another group of people. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed, shall be brought to utter shame, shall be brought to utter ruin. And you know what? Shall rightly say, I am rightly judged on that day. The ones believing not on the Son of God, the only God and Saviour, throughout all the world, will bow soon in judgment. However soon is, they will bow soon in judgment. But such as trust him now, hearing his call to look unto him and be saved, are promised. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to shame, for there is no difference. No difference. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Call on him now.